Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, New Orleans. The last 2 days to early vote. Now's your chance. And you'll have to wait until next Saturday on the 16th. You have today and tomorrow to cast that early vote. Exercise your civic obligation, your civic duty, your right to vote, all too important. In the last hour today, we're going to be talking to Michael Heck, president and CEO of G&O Inc., and a representative from Bank of America. They teamed up to put together a jobs report to study what's going on here in the city, what sectors are we having the most success, the most gains. Very interesting data. You're going to want to stay tuned to hear that, because this is the stuff that really affects us more so than anything else. Certainly more so than at the federal level, because this is what's actually happening on the ground here, and we'll look at that. We'll talk to Brad Lumine on Prep Roundup Preview in the second hour, as well as Jeff Palermo about the LSU-Alabama game. Alabama 39-0 at home. This is a big, big deal for the LSU Fighting Tigers. Can't wait till 2:30 Saturday afternoon. I know where I'll be. I'm sure you'll know where you'll be. Waiting to see what's going to ultimately happen in that game. And then Christian Garrick joins us as well for the Saints power rankings and a little breakdown of the Saints-Falcon game here at the Louisiana Superdome. This hour, No Filter Friday, we've talked about a whole lot of issues this week. Anybody want to take me to task? Want to debate any particular subject matter? Ready to do it. Let me just make one announcement. Louisiana ranked top 10 for 10 years on the Economic Development Magazine site selection, has ranked Louisiana in the top 10 for the best business climate for the 10th year in a row. So they continue to perform and outperform many other states in top state business climate rankings. Congratulations to the administration and all local governments that help participate in pulling that off. Let's go to the talk lines. We'll go to Paul Uptown. What say you, Paul?
Good morning, Sheriff. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you for calling, sir.
I've been driving Uber since I retired for about 3 years, and I was real concerned about the new airport terminal, and it's even worse than I thought it was going to be. The traffic pattern, once you get up to drop off a customer or pick them up, is worse than the old airport was. And then to top that off, there's no canopy at all. So all the customers, all the patrons coming in from out of town are going to be standing in the rain on both pickup and taking off. And when they come out of that terminal, beautiful, gorgeous, everybody says how great it is, but they step out into our 105 heat index with no shade, waiting half an hour or more for a Lyft ride, an Uber ride, and they spend $1 billion, and there's no canopy, no way to cover from the rain.
You know, and, that's a shame, because we got a lot of rain, and as much as it felt like a bunker, right, on the lower level, out of baggage claim.
They were covered.
What was nice is when it was cold, you didn't feel the cold. When it was hot, you really didn't feel the heat. And when it was raining, you didn't feel the rain.
Yeah. And there were 100 people waiting in line yesterday afternoon at about 5 o'clock, waiting to come in for a big convention. And one guy came up to me and said, cancel your other ride. I'll give you $100 cash right now to take me into town.
Wow.
I wouldn't cancel my ride, but that's how bad it is. Everybody's trying to move over three lanes to get to the curb and then move out through all the traffic to get to the curb. And it's the same way up top when you're dropping off patrons.
Hopefully, you plan for things operationally to work a certain way. Hopefully they're doing after action each day to see whether or not there's something that they can do in order to improve upon same. And I said, hopefully. Sometimes there's not a whole lot of options. But we'll see. And I'm glad you called, because I saw pictures last night on Facebook, and none of the pictures that I saw outside on the curb looked pretty. I mean, there were people stacked up all over the place, cars stacked up all over the place. I don't know how many flights were coming in at that same time, but it seemed a little like bedlam.
And to think about a Christmas or Thanksgiving or something like that, and, you know, a flyover, actually getting off at Loyola and going right there, because it's not 2.5 miles like it was getting to the old terminal. A flyover really isn't going to make a difference at all. It's getting people in and out of the airport, and that's been my concern the whole time.
Right. Right.
And because it could have been the first terminal ever built in the world that was designed for all the flow of Uber and Lyft and taxi traffic.
Right.
And they didn't take that into account at all.
Yeah.
And then for no shade is just going to be horrible. People are going to be complaining about this place forever.
Yeah, July is going to be murder, no doubt about it. Paul,
It's like if you go on a cruise and you get off and you got to wait in all the line to get out of there.
Yeah.
Ruins the whole thing.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for calling in, and good luck this weekend while you're driving your Uber out there. Let's go to line three. Talk to Jay in Harahan. What say you, Jay?
Hi, Noah. How are you doing this morning?
Doing great.
I just wanted to talk to you. I called in earlier this week, and we spoke a little bit whenever you had the gentleman on discussing the governor's race. I still have a few misgivings just regarding Governor Edwards. I just wanted to see, you know, what your opinions on some of these issues I find. Is, and you know, maybe at the end of this you have a lot of good points and may change my opinion, but that just when it comes to bringing myself to vote for him, I just can't. So one of the things I would definitely say is I read an article in The Advocate regarding how Governor Edwards has balanced the budget, and it looks like he's used a lot of bonds and oil futures, and the fact that it's a true claim that the budget's balanced. But it seems like that's all based on a lot of future predictions, and that's very, very risky. Not an ideal way to balance the budget, although it's better than what Jindal had given us. To lay claim like, oh, we've got a $2 billion budget deficit that we've cured, I don't know how safe it is to go ahead and say that. On top of that, I mean, jobs.
Well, I've never said it's been cured. What I said was that the governor came into office challenged with a $2.1 billion deficit, which compelled them to do some things, to look at some cuts, to also look at additional revenue, because with the statutory or constitutional limitations as to what you can do, there's a limited number of options. And that's what they set out to do, albeit it took a whole bunch of special sessions, because these were all distasteful moves at the end of the day. I don't think there's anybody that would stand up and say, yeah, this is exactly what we desired. Nobody did.
So and that was part of my
So the thing is that they did what they had to do in order to try and balance the budget and to be as creative as they could, all the while still trying to meet the needs of infrastructure and things of that nature, where they were able to get some one-time dollars. I think they put $700 million into infrastructure over this period of time by working with the federal government and doing some things very creative there. Obviously, bond financing is always a tool where you get a revenue source and you bond it out so that you can have more upfront capital in order to meet those needs. It's a debt, though, but it's not uncommon for state or local government to conduct themselves in that way. In fact, there's going to be a $500 million bond issue that's being voted on by the citizens in New Orleans. So that's not out of the ordinary. What was your other point?
Okay. And that's fair. And, but you had mentioned the special session, you know, and regarding the tax raises and everything that was passed, and I know you said on your show it was passed by the Republican legislature, but I understand, again, there was a lot of pushback on that, and that Governor Edwards called for 3 special sessions, and he had actually let the term run out, which cost us millions of dollars as well. And I understand that. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, that a lot of that was because he wanted a few more tax raises and wouldn't give in without it. I mean, again, correct me if that's wrong, but...
Well, they needed that amount of money. They needed a sum certain in order to balance the budget.
Well, there was
a battle as to whether or not how much was going to get cut from higher ed, how much was going to get cut from mental health, how much one of the big issues was cutting special needs kids. And, you know, so there were some things that were presented that, from his perspective, were very distasteful, some of which I wouldn't have supported either had I been in that position. But that's why you go into these sessions, is to hammer out where there's disagreements, where you can tweak something here, there, or otherwise, to try and reach some kind of compromise. Unfortunately, they weren't able to do it the first time. They weren't able to do it the second time. I think they finally got it done in the third, fourth, or fifth time, as I recall. But one of those times, and it shouldn't have taken that long because it is what it is, but everybody was testing the barometer of what the public was going to be willing to accept.
Well, and I understand that. And look, I think maybe I have a different approach to how I'd like to balance this budget. I mean, we talked a little bit about Medicaid. I'd love to roll back Medicaid and cut our expenses. I know it's not the most popular thing to do, and that's
but
why
you're
nobody
not gonna,
wants to
but
touch
you're
it
not
with
gonna
a 20
gain,
foot pole.
You're not going to gain but, that much. I mean, you're putting up 10% of every dollar, 10 cents to get 90 from the federal government, and you're able to minimize the amount of uncompensated care that's appearing at emergency rooms across the state, which the general fund is going to pay 100% of. So it's not as simple. It's not a one-sided equation. There's something going on the other side of the equation, and that's what you're protecting against. That's why a number of Republican governors around the country have expanded Medicaid, because they realize that that would be cutting off your nose to spite your face to make a political statement about the Affordable Care Act. And it just seems to me, just because Barack Obama's name might be affiliated or associated with some piece of legislation, that it's kind of childish to take a position just for the sake of the politics. And meanwhile, the state is still having to foot the bill, and you're not able to provide the level of care that everyone so desires to those who are working poor. These are not just people sitting at home laying on your leg. These are people that are actually working and don't have health insurance, but they're working. And there's a matrix that they are judged by as to whether or not they have their eligibility. So, Jay, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Richard. What say you, Richard?
Hey, Noel, how you doing?
Good, and you?
I'm doing all right. Thank you for having us on for a couple of minutes. We just felt like we should come on the air this morning. There was an ad released in the governor's campaign today, one of many, by Lane Grigsby's Truth in Politics, that was just so utterly false that the campaign felt like we needed to immediately respond. It's actually one of the most dishonest ads I think I've ever seen. This ad accuses Governor Edwards and one of his West Point roommates of receiving state contracts through backroom deals. And one of the things as we were looking into the facts that they were putting out on this ad was that CPRA actually never even awarded a contract for the project that's listed in this ad. And one thing we've noticed over the last few months is that Lane Grigsby is not beholden to the truth on anything. He's a self-proclaimed kingmaker, but not worried about the facts. And they intentionally put pictures of Governor Edwards and his roommate in their West Point cadet uniforms in an effort to just impugn their character. And it's utterly disgraceful. It's the reason that people hate politics right now. And I just, you know, we felt the need to call in and talk about it a little bit with you and your listeners to let them know that we are doing everything we can to get this ad taken down because it is so false.
I mean, I don't guess the news stations do any fact checking on any of this until somebody complains. Is that how that works?
I believe that's how it works. So we submitted a challenge letter to them last night and this morning, and are laying out the facts. But I mean, Stephanie Regal in the Baton Rouge Business Report ironically had a story on this very issue today, and in her story says that no contract for the award was ever awarded. And so it's disgraceful. And the fact that we have the facts on our side, I think, we feel very confident that we're going to be able to get it taken down. But it's Lane Grigsby and Eddie Rasponi just completely misrepresenting facts to the public right now. And I think our campaign and the governor and a lot of people across the state have kind of had enough with them.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that the other night with the rally, people saying stuff that I know not to be true about sanctuary cities, about this. I asked the governor on the show here whether that was the case. He said no, he doesn't support sanctuary cities, never has.
Right.
You know, and this continues to come up because it seems to be one of the Republican talking points on that particular issue. I'm adamantly opposed to it. And I told him, I said, look, this is an issue that I've been taking to task for a long time. I've not seen anywhere where you took that position. So where are you? And he came right out and said, I'm not in favor of sanctuary cities.
Oh, absolutely. And
they continue to put it on their commercial.
They put it on their commercials despite the fact that the Trump administration has acknowledged that New Orleans is not a sanctuary city. Jeff Sessions sent a letter to the state. I mean, it's just they're not beholden to the facts at all right now, and it's a problem. And I think this is, like I said, why people are fed up with politics. But we're getting closer to the campaign, the election day, and I think they're getting a little bit desperate, and it's showing with these ads. But like I said, we feel very confident that this ad, particular ad, will be taken down very soon.
Well, obviously, they're nervous about probably early voting numbers. Having run a number of campaigns, that's how that works. So you want to try and get the benefit of the last 2 days. So you just throw in the proverbial it on the wall to see what'll stick. And don't worry about whether or not you're telling the truth or not.
Absolutely. Turnout is up, and I think they're seeing that folks aren't responding to Mr. Rasponi's campaign, and they are. They're moving towards the governor, and they're getting nervous. And this ad that they released today from Lane Grigsby's group clearly shows that.
Well, Richard, thank you for the update. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Noel.
All right, let's go. All right, we've got to get to a break. We're going to go to a break. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll come right back right after the break. On the countdown for early voting and on the countdown for the LSU game. Looking forward to tomorrow afternoon. Let's go to Mary out in Metre. What say you, Mary?
Hello?
Yes, you're on. Welcome to the show.
Yes, I was calling in reference to the caller before Richard, who said he wasn't going to vote for Edwards because of the way he handled the taxes or the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you know what Edwards is proposing.
Yes.
Responsa is not debating. How does he know what Responsa is playing? No one knows. Because his lack of going on TV or going out and debating Edwards. He doesn't know what Responsa is proposing, what his plan is.
No, so I agree.
He's going
into
the election blindly. All we hear him talking about are jobs. We don't hear anything of what his plan, anybody that would vote for him as governor or anybody else in the elected position that won't face your opponent, that's scary.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to say I'm a businessman and businessmen are capable of doing this, that, and otherwise. Yeah, I know a lot of them that are, and I know a lot of them that weren't.
Right.
And if you look at the number of failed businesses out there, and government is a unique business. It's not traditional in nature. There are a lot of things and services that are provided by government that are not designed to make money. And,
right.
You know, so it's not the same mentality all the time in what you have to do and how you go about delivering that service. There are some similarities,
right.
The fact of the matter is it's not exactly the same. So it begs of a candidate that puts himself out there and wants to make that distinction, in my view, whether it be Mr. Rasponi or anybody else. That was a big issue with Ray Nagin here in the city. In fact, I was not a big fan of Ray Nagin at that time, never was. He managed a regulated utility. Those are even different. You get a guaranteed rate of return.
Right.
There are no businesses out there that get a guaranteed rate of return. So it's not even like, being in a full business environment. It's a little different. It's a hybrid. All of which, in a number of these cases, we've seen where they've not worked out that well. There's been other cases where it has. But you got to at least fill us in on what you're going to do.
Right. I think Edwards has done a fantastic job with the budget and balancing based on what he, like you said, he walked into.
Well,
Louisianans have no idea what response their plans are.
Well, the part of the issue, too, is that the problems didn't go away just with the passing of the legislation. There wasn't a collection of enough revenue in order to resolve all of those issues. It took a number of years to get to where they are today with, quite frankly, the inability to not be nimble as a result of the constraints that were placed on them because of the condition of the state when Jindal left. And, you know, they make it seem like all of these things, you snap a finger, that problem went away. You snap another finger, that problem went away. It doesn't work that way. There's a tail on all of these issues that you have to work through, monitor, and make sure you deal with it. There are a lot of folks trying to make the flyover at the airport the governor's fault. There was no money in a capital budget, in a capital outlay budget. That's the place where you get the money. There was nothing. And then engineering and architect and everything else is an 18 to 36-month process. Well, guess what? We're in the 36-and-a-half month of his administration. And they were busy fighting over money for so many special sessions. They never could get to this issue and finally resolve it. When they finally got to the budget issue and resolved it, within months, this issue started to get resolved. Negotiating the buyout of properties with the city of Kenner, this, that, everything else, all in place moving forward. Is it fast enough? No. But that's not his fault. You know, by the time you get through federal design and everything else, it takes time. But everybody that wants to make an issue out of something has the old bewitch twitch of the nose and all the problems go away. But that's not life. That's not how it works. Mary, thank you so much for the call.
Yeah, I just think if Responte is elected governor, you will not see him facing the camera, facing the reporters, or giving an update. He has no plans. I wish the caller before Richard would reconsider on his reason for not voting Edwards. Thank you.
Let's go to line four. Talk to Ernest. What say you, Ernest?
Ernest.
Yes. How are you?
I'm wonderful, sir. And let me just say two things before I get to my real question, which deals with the airport. I'm glad you wasn't a big fan of open mouth, insert foot, Nagin. And the Democratic Party has a agenda this morning to call in all the talk shows and get free advertisement. But that being said, let me get to the serious stuff. Now, you said they were waiting an hour for an Uber at the airport.
I didn't. A previous caller said that.
No. The other callers. Now, there's no Metro or any other kind of taxis at the airport.
No, they're taxis.
I won't ride Uber. They that background checked, FBI background checked, or drug tested. You don't know who you ride with.
Yeah.
I just want taxi.
No, you can get taxi. There's a taxi stand there, I'm sure.
Well, why would you wait for an hour for an Uber when you can get a taxi?
It's a good question. I don't know.
Especially when you're willing to give somebody $100
to each his own, you know. Some people are so used to it.
There are taxis out there, huh?
Yes.
Because I'm getting ready to take a trip and I get dropped off at the airport and, you know, on the way back home, I'll catch a Metro taxi. All right. Thank you, my friend.
Right.
Have a good day.
Have a great weekend, Ernest. Let's go to Earl out in Hammond. What say you, Earl?
I'm calling up about the most serious problem the state of Louisiana has, and it's not waiting at the airport for an hour. It's saltwater intrusion in the state. The salt PPMs in the Lake Pontchartrain, it's all the land starting to sink, and the land west of Plaquemine Parish and the land in St. Bernard, until they fix the problem and start letting the fresh water, what they blocked in the 50s and the 60s, from going out and keeping that salt water out, the land's going to keep sinking. And they can see that all over. They see it in New Orleans right now with their water and their sewage and everything else. That salt water comes up all the way up to the Mississippi River. And every year, with the land sinking, that salt water increases. Back in the 50s, the salt water in the Mississippi River most probably was 3 or 4 feet. Now, it's most probably 8 or 10 feet.
There is no doubt, Earl, that saltwater intrusion is a problem. It is a very complex problem. It's one that has presents challenges whereby balance of interest, because there are a number of folks in the seafood industry that are not necessarily completely and totally opposed to diversion, but want to know about how the diversion is going to affect their oyster beds, things of that nature. And there's always some downstream effects, and we get mired down in the battle back and forth between the data, one in which this science is not an exact science, and they're having a real difficult time in figuring out how to modify back what they've taken from Mother Nature. And this is, I think, a battle that we're going to have for a long, long time. Thankfully, the CPRA has begun to move on a number of projects that they have in implementation right now, at least to deal with storm water control and the rebuilding of some of the barrier islands and so forth out there, so that West Wego's not the barrier island, so to speak, or the last barrier. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And there's no doubt it is a big issue, and it's one that needs to be resolved. Thank you for the call. Have a great weekend. We got to get to a break. We want to hear from you. 260-1870. It's No Filter Friday. I'm here if you want to take me to task on something. Love to hear from you. We're back. Just a reminder today, special edition of Fans and the Pros with Zach Streif and Deuce McAllister live from Rouse's in the CBD on Barone Street. Get ready for the division rivalry against those, the Dirty Birds and the Atlanta Falcons and the Saints. Will the Saints continue their winning streak? Hang out with two Saints legends, Zach and Deuce, today, 4 to 7 p.m. at Rouse's, 701 Barone Street, in the CBD, the home of the Saints and LSU and WWL. And also today will be the last day that Scoot will be giving away a family pack of 4 tickets to the Louisiana Philharmonic Orchestra. Will pay tribute to the legendary rocker David Bowie. An orchestra. That's going to be phenomenal. Friday, November 15th, 7:30 p.m. at the Mahalia Jackson Theater. Scoot's coming up next, 1 to 4. Want to listen, because he's got another family pack of 4 tickets to give away. That's going to be, I think, an incredible performance. So let's go to line 2, talk to Charlie out in the parish.
Hey, Newell, good morning. Always a great show, Newell.
Thank you, sir.
Listen, it don't matter who's governor. We the citizens vote for sports booking over a year ago. It goes into committee up in Baton Rouge, and by the time all of lobbyists in the special interest groups and the PACs get involved, it don't even come out of committee, because it just, instead of having the casinos and O2B doing sports booking, anybody that's got a video poker machine, they want to be able to sell sports booking. It our state is so behind and so corrupt. It's all about money. Money, money, money.
Yeah, it is about money. There's no doubt about that. And
look at medical marijuana and new. Don't think less of me. I have Parkinson's.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we in 2015, we legalized medical marijuana. Here we are in 2019. We get it 5 months ago. It's a nitrate. It's liquid. But they can't even tell us what the THC content of it is. You ask anybody, what's the THC content? Nobody can tell you. We're so behind on everything this state does. And that's my
opinion. Well, that's something, and I'll just say this, Charlie, I don't disagree with you in a lot of cases, but when it comes to that, that is something, because we went outside of the FDA approval process, and now everybody is having to regulate things that they hadn't ordinarily regulated before. When you looked at California, Oregon, and Washington, same problems, same issues. They're now involved in all kinds of product recalls. They're having a real tough time from a regulatory standpoint, having people play by the rules. because once you start delivering this for medicinal purposes, there are procedures and protocols that have to be adhered to because you're talking about the safety and the security of the individuals that are receiving this medication. And it's just not there. But, you know, I have to defend the state in that regard because this was a slippery slope piece of legislation to begin with, because this is not how we ordinarily get medicine to market the way that we're doing it now, as though it's a cottage industry, and it's anything but that. And we will continue to have issues there. But we'll see.
Trump did sign in the legislation that you can use the unverified treatments as last resorts, which we didn't have before.
No, that's true. That is true.
You know, so at least we got some kind of good there.
But all right, Charlie.
You have a great day, man. I always love talking to you.
LSU, Alabama, who wins?
The Tigers, 38-35.
I'll take that. All right, Charlie, thank you. Let's go to John out in Metro. What say you, John?
John, I'm sorry. No, I'd like to know, what is the dissent decree? I think I'm pronouncing it right.
Consent decree
in Orleans Parish, and why does it cost them money?
Well, because of all the experts they bring in and the oversight that they do, and they check and double check and validate and revalidate all of the policies and procedures of these organizations. They look at a lot of data, and they charge the city for same. I don't recall the number. I can tell you it's in the millions.
Wow.
And it goes on for years.
Does that dissent decree apply to the police department only or to various other?
There are two consent decrees here, as I recall, under a special master, one for the New Orleans Police Department and one for the incarceration side under the criminal sheriff's office.
Okay, what does a policeman do or not do to be within the guidelines of the consent decree?
The policies that are adopted by the organization and policies and procedures manual that's adopted, he must follow that.
By the police department?
Yeah, and the same with the sheriff's office. That's how most of these consent decrees work, is they work very hard on the policies and procedures manual, training requirements, things of that nature.
You wouldn't think that would ever happen in Jefferson Parish, or should it happen or not happen?
I don't think it should. I was proud to say that I thought our office was a very forward-leaning office.
The
federal government had come in and looked at a couple of things periodically here and there, and we were given a clean bill of health. That's not unusual. That happens all the time with agencies across the country.
But by the time, I think, Mitchell Andrew, he was totally surprised that it would cost him money. He evidently didn't know a thing about it.
Well, that's not exactly fair, but I would have done, had it been me, I would have done a different process, similar to the one that was done in Las Vegas. I used to remember reformative something or other, they called it. It's not as intrusive as the consent decree. You're not completely and totally under the rule of the federal court. It's a much more collaborative effort between the federal government and the agency. They made huge strides in the Las Vegas Police Department in a very short period of time. And I always thought that that collaborative process would have been a much better process to proceed with. John, thank you so much for the call. Got to get to a break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.